On more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
Well, look at that. We are right back. I'm Michael Cohen, 1320 WILS, 6:43 on a Wednesday evening in Lansing. By the way, our email address for feedback is ccrecap@gmail.com. If you have any thoughts or comments about any of the interviews you're hearing today or yesterday, for that matter, send us a line. We'd love to hear from you. Well, while some argue that local school boards are outdated and need to be replaced, a new study out of MSU finding that Americans support local control of their schools. To talk about it, I'm joined by the lead researcher, Rebecca Jacobson, an MSU assistant professor of education. Rebecca, thanks for joining us on WILS this evening. And, Rebecca, are you there?
Yep, I'm
okay,
there.
Okay, well, good to hear from you. So tell me, what are we seeing in Michigan right now, and nationwide for that matter? Would you say there is some kind of a move to eliminate or maybe minimize local control of schools?
I certainly think we do see that nationwide, especially with increased programs at the federal level, like No Child Left Behind, that offer lots of money, but sometimes with lots of strings. People are thinking that maybe decisions are being made, or better, should be made at the national level. And there's certainly been a lot of criticism of local school boards as ineffective or corrupt or subject to certain interest groups. But generally, when I look at the data of national opinion polls over time, people still see a real role for their local school boards.
Well, with more than 90,000 locally elected school board members serving nearly 15,000 school boards in the U.S., is there a large variance in the way curriculum and education policy is structured in individual school districts?
There certainly is a variation, though it's been declining as states and, like I said, the federal government have increased the number of regulations. So I think there's more similarity than differences, especially than if we look at the past when how it used to be quite variable. But the local influence still allows for it to be tailored to the unique context of each, local district or the particular population's needs.
So your study looked at how Americans feel about this kind of local control in the education system. What does that really mean in terms of the control that's had, and what kind of aspects of the local education system are Americans wanting to keep local?
Sure. The Americans are actually quite sophisticated. When I looked at the data, I was somewhat surprised, given how much criticism there's been of school boards. They still see a very important role for the state and federal government, especially when it comes to issues of equity. So things like making sure that schools have the same access to funding, making sure that students are receiving reasonably similar curriculums. It's certainly something that the people say, well, that really is left better to a higher level of government, like the state or federal level. But when it comes to the day-to-day operations of who's going to fix my school and make sure that it's improving, or who's going to run my schools, questions like that, people consistently prefer their local control or local school board members as being the ones who can really oversee that day-to-day operations, the hands-on, right there, what's going on.
I see. But when we talk about curriculum and the type of studying that's being done and the type of the level of education that's being taught, is that something that Americans prefer to see at least on a statewide level?
I think that they like to see some broad standards set to make sure that there's a reasonable amount of equity across different districts and different schools. But exactly how it's taught, I think when those questions are asked and the phrasing is along the lines of what's taught versus core goals or national standards, you see real differences in how people react. People want broad national standards so that there's some fairness, but they also want to see exactly what's taught be left up to those who are actually working with the kids on a day-to-day basis.
So it almost sounds like the local, the stuff that Americans want to see run locally, is the administrative things. But when it comes to kind of the structure of the education system, they prefer that to not necessarily be controlled by the school board right there locally.
Right. I think looking at issues of implementation, I think the American public has it right that a one-size-fits-all is not going to work for our school system. We've got a lot of diversity across this country, and I think that the people recognize that what works in one place may not work in all, and so they want to make sure that there's some wiggle room within reasonable standards to make sure that it can fit all kids so that they can learn.
I'm talking to Rebecca Jacobson, an MSU Assistant Professor of Education. So when we look at local control, one thing that doesn't fit into that structure are charter schools. Is that essentially right?
Charter schools are a little bit different. Charter schools actually might even be what some would consider in some places only local control. So oftentimes, depending upon the state law, charter schools have their own governing board that is from, you know, local community members. So in some ways, those could be the most locally controlled schools. But in exchange for that charter, they're often freed of a lot of regulations. Now, when No Child Left Behind was enacted, they still had to comply with all of the testing requirements that was part of that federal law. But in some ways, they're actually freed up to do a lot more and maybe are pure local control, which some people think isn't a good idea either.
Now, in terms of what you do, you are a researcher. Is that a big part of what you do at MSU, research different dynamics in the school, in the education system?
Yeah, my area of interest is really in this dynamics about governance and control, and particularly an interest in the public, since these are our public schools and the public is paying a lot of money towards our education system. I'm really interested in what they actually want, what they actually believe, and whether or not our representatives are listening to them. So spending time researching that is a big chunk of what I do, but I also spend a lot of time working with future teachers who want to go into these environments and be able to do the very best that they can.
Now, isn't there a move now, though, to put in place kind of a standard curriculum across the entire country?
There has been a lot of effort that's actually been around for quite some time, though it's gaining more and more popularity. The Common Core of Standards is something that a lot of states are signing on to, thinking that maybe this will be a way to raise the achievement levels of our students.
I just wonder how that plays into local control. I mean, we certainly have seen school boards take some very different viewpoints on certain books and even, you know, the teaching of creationism and so on. Is there a feeling, at least when it comes to this Common Core curriculum, that that is something that Americans are ready to have, even though they prefer local control otherwise?
Yes, I think that's actually an area where we see a lot of increased acceptance for some sort of national curriculum or national standards. I think that it does get tricky sometimes when you get down to the nitty-gritty of what will be in the exact standards. But people like the idea that it shouldn't be that if I go to school in Texas, I learn one thing, and if I go to school in Massachusetts, I learn something else. We want everybody to be able to compete on an equal playing field and be prepared to compete on an equal playing field. So I think that people have become increasingly willing to accept some sort of national standards.
You know, there's been, obviously we're going to see an expansion of charters here in the state and cyber schools. But the strange thing is the studies seem very unclear. I mean, it seems like both sides say there is a difference in the quality of education. The other side says there really isn't. Do you think enough research has been done in that area? And is there a clear understanding of how charters and cyber schools compared to our traditional schools?
I think there has been quite a bit of really good research done on charter schools, and I think that we do find that there's a lot of variation. And I think that it's pretty, if you think about it intuitively, if you open up the system to experimentation, of course we're going to have some really great successes, but we're also going to have some really great failures. And so I think what the charter movement does is really expand that range of possibilities, that when you put on a lot of regulation and a lot of restriction, you can sometimes bring up the bottom, but also unfortunately bring down the top. And I think it's a complex policy choice. Do we want to, you know, allow for all this experimentation, which sometimes leads to really, you know, amazing things, but can also lead to some really horrible education you know, for kids, or do we want to restrict it some? And that's, I think that's a debate that's not been settled, and I don't know that data will necessarily settle that.
Have you been following this this overhaul of the school finance system that the governor has now put a panel together for?
I don't follow finance as much as I probably should.
I see. Well, that was another area I was going to ask you about. But in terms of the larger effect, you know, there are those that look at our education system and say that, that really it's self-interest groups. So we have the teachers' unions, even school districts have their own financial interests at stake, and it really does mitigate our a clear approach to our education system. How much do you think that is an issue in really finding the best policies for students and to help them learn?
Sure. I think that politics is definitely at the heart. That's what I study. I think that it is definitely at the heart of the education system. And as long as it remains a public system, I think that we're going to have to continue to use politics, as inefficient as it may be sometimes, in order to decide what is the best for our future and our country and our future, you know, students that will become our future citizens. I'm not sure that there's a way around debating those issues outside of the political realm. And, mm-hmm. and in my opinion, it's best to keep those decisions public. After all, we are all paying for it and benefiting from it.
Well, and the move to begin to evaluate teachers and school districts and schools on performance and results, is that something you think is a wise thing to do?
I think that a piece of the puzzle for how we evaluate how well a school is doing should be based on test results, but I think test results are a very small part of what we really want our schools to produce. I think we want our schools to produce citizens who can talk to each other and know how to disagree. We want students who know how to come to school on time. We want students who are creative and can think outside of the box. And some of those things just simply can't be tested. And as long as we continue to hold schools or individual teachers accountable only for testing outcomes, I fear that we're going to lose all those other things that probably in the long run are more beneficial to not only the individual student, but to our country.
Is the bigger picture, though, in Michigan that we have the majority of the school systems and districts are operating well and getting good results, but we have a small but significant number of districts that are doing an absolutely horrible job. And how do we address that in a system-wide way?
Sure. I'm not sure that we can address it systematically from, you know, a one-size-fits-all approach. I think that the schools that are struggling for multiple reasons, some of which are definitely school-related, but some of which are beyond the school walls. Kids spend just a small fraction of their day in the classroom, and that is not the only thing impacting their education and their learning. So I think if we really want to think about how are we going to turn around these schools, I think we should be thinking about how we can turn around these communities so that there's far more to support learning than just the 6 hours they spend in the classroom.
Is it always, though, that big picture approach? Is there nothing that can be done simply within that local failing school that that might change things?
Sure. I think that there's things that can be done, but I don't think we'll see the large gains that we're hoping for unless we move beyond just the schoolhouse walls. I think if you look at projects that have seen huge gains like the Harlem Children's Zone or some of the outstanding KIPP academies, they really focus on more than just the typical six-hour day. They provide a lot of wraparound services, extra programming, and really try to support beyond just the actual classroom day for the child. And then we see some really large gains. So I think teachers can do a better job. I think that, you know, schools can try to do better with a better curriculum, but I don't think we'll see the types of big gains that we're really hoping for.
Well, and, you know, the big argument with charters and choice is it's most important in these failing school districts to allow parents and children to have an option, not to be stuck in a failing school. You know, the other side, of course, is that by expanding the system, we're taking money away from these traditional schools, these local districts. Where do you see the argument leading? And is one side actually correct?
I don't think that it's really about choice, because for a lot of parents, even though you say there's an opportunity or a choice, you know, parents pick schools for a number of reasons. Sometimes the most salient is the school safe and is it close to home and fit with my work schedule? And so, you know, they may be choosing schools for a whole host of reasons beyond just the academic achievement that's offered. So I think sometimes we frame it as giving people a choice and empowering them, but really we need to make sure that everybody's school is a place that we would want to send our children to.
Rebecca Jacobson, MSU Assistant Professor of Education. Rebecca, thanks for hanging out with us and covering this very expansive interview.
Sure. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. Now, well, we're just going to wrap it up right from here. Today, my producer has been Andre Holgate. Always a pleasure to have him running the soundboard. And feedback, one more time, our email address for feedback is ccrecap@gmail.com. Also, all the interviews, all of them, post on our website. If you missed any portion of them, especially that first one about the GM white-collar retiree buyout option, that was the first interview of the show. Check it out on our website, 1320wyls.com. In the middle of the page, you'll see our link, Capital City Recap with Michael Cohen. Just click on that. I had an expert basically break it down and give some good advice on making that decision, which has to be made by this Friday, July 20th, if you are, in fact, a GM retiree and you're considering taking this lump sum buyout for your pension. Otherwise, well, we're back tomorrow. Me and Andre will be with me also. Hopefully you will be able to join us then. That is it. I'm Michael Cohen, 1320 WILS. Have a good evening. Good night.